Now let's just have a little word of prayer together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time when we can meet with Thee. We praise you this morning for your word. We thank you that your word directs us in the way that we should go. It comforts us in times of need. It guides us and leads us. And we thank you that we have the blessed written word of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who has come to lead us into the truth of that word. And we pray that, Father, that your Spirit might lead us in our meditations this morning. You look down and see this great company gathered. You see every heart and every individual. And Lord, we thank you that you know each one of us this morning. You know every detail of our lives. Father, you know just what we need at this particular time. And we pray, O God, that you would come in all your fullness and bless us today. May you bless us through your word. May you challenge us, Lord. May you comfort those that need a word of comfort. Would you encourage us, Lord, in the way and the pilgrim pathway. And so we come to thee this morning. And pray, O God, that we might hear your voice and that we might not only hear it, but that we might respond to it in our own lives. These things we ask in the Savior's name. Amen. Now, I want to read a portion in the book of Exodus, please. Exodus chapter 15. The book of Exodus chapter 15. And we're going to read from verse 22 through to the end of the chapter. Exodus 15, 22 to 27. It says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.' And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters." We know that God will bless the reading of His holy word. In the previous chapters leading up to this one, we have seen God bringing His people out from the bondage of Egypt that had been in for such a long time through the blood of the Lamb and the power of His mighty hand. And we've watched them bringing them across the Red Sea on dry ground while the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And God, of course, did this under the leadership of Moses and of Aaron. And now, here in chapter 15, the children of Israel are on redemption ground and they're singing redemption songs. When you turn back to the beginning of chapter 15, it says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, 'I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea.'" And that song goes on down through the chapter until we read about Miriam there in verse 20. We find this is the great song that they sang when they crossed the Red Sea. And of course, that's where you and I are this morning. Those of us who know the Lord, who belong to Him, who are believers, we're on redemption ground. And we're singing redemption song. We're rejoicing that the Lord has delivered us from the bondage of sin and the darkness of Egypt. And here we are among the redeemed of the Lord. And it says then in verse 22, where we were reading there, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. God is using Moses to lead His people through the wilderness. And what a tremendous task that was. Now we see something of Moses' faith here. Remember, his name is in that great chapter of faith, Hebrews chapter 11. And one is not surprised when you think of the task he had of leading the people through the wilderness. I'm sure we've watched these immigrant folks who have been coming out of Syria and Iraq and trying to get into Europe, and there's quite a number of them. But the number of people that Moses was responsible, some of the commentators believe it could well have been over 1 million people. And others estimate it could be as much as 3 million. So somewhere in between that, that is the number of people that we're talking about this morning who were going through the wilderness, who had come out of Egypt, and who were now in the wilderness, and you can imagine the needs that they had. They had need of food, they had need of water. I'm sure that babies would have been born. They had need of sanitary facilities, and I'm sure there was sickness among them that had to be attended to. And Moses, he's leading them in the wilderness. He knew that if they were to follow the northern route, it would not be long until they reached the land of the Philistines. But we find that he deliberately led them in the southern route into the wilderness. And he led them that way because that's the way the pillar of cloud led them. And remember, the pillar of cloud was a symbol of God's presence with them. And so Moses knew a shorter route, an easier route, but he led them the way God was leading them. It says over here in chapter 13, if you want just to look at it, verse 17, it says, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. So Moses led them through the wilderness, which was the longer route, because that was the way God was leading them. And you know, friends, it's always good to go God's way. It's always good to follow the way that the Lord is leading. And it says here in verse 22, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. And the first thing I want you to notice here this morning is the barrenness of the wilderness. Without water, there is no life. Without water, there was no food or refreshment. Without water, things were not going to be easy. And these Israel may have reasoned and thought to themselves, since we're following the cloud, which is a symbol of God's presence, and we're in the center of God's will, it should be an easy road. Everything will be fine. We shouldn't have too many problems. But that was not the case. My dear friends, they found out that the wilderness journey wasn't an easy road to follow.
And my, that's how it is in life, isn't it? My, we're traveling through the wilderness of this world this morning. We're strangers and pilgrims. Stranger is someone who doesn't belong at a particular place. A pilgrim is someone who's journeying to another land, and that's where you and I are this morning. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're here for a little time. We're on the pilgrim pathway. And sometimes the road is difficult and hard. Sometimes it's hard to understand. Sometimes our human reasoning would take the short route, the easy way. But dear friends, that's not always the best way. It's better to go by God's way. And my, we're in the barrenness of the wilderness, and as we look at this world in which we live with all its problems, we see the barrenness of the wilderness here in the text. And then it says this. It says, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. You know, for 3 days there'd been no water. First 2 days must have been difficult and hard to get around. But then on the third day, I would feel that Moses urged them to press on, because he knew the wilderness well and he knew there were pools of water ahead. He knew about the waters of Marah. And man, they could see the waters of Marah in the distance. And I'm sure it added a bit to their step, and they began to give a sigh of relief and think, you know, my, we're coming to the waters of Marah. Maybe even some of the younger ones would run on ahead. And so they came to the waters of Marah, the first waters that had been in sight for 3 days, and they began to drink of the waters of Marah, but they could not drink because they were bitter. We see now the bitterness of Marah. The bitterness of Marah. My, what a disappointment. What a letdown. My, what a shock. They've been depending on these waters to give them drink and to give them life. But they were bitter and they could not drink. Wasn't too long, you know, since everything was good and sweet and lovely, and they were out of Egypt, and now they were on redemption ground, and they were singing redemption song, and now their joys have turned to bitterness. And the thing is this, friends, that we all come to the waters of Marah in life. And I want to talk to you this morning about the waters of Marah. Because the waters of Marah speak to us of the bitter experiences of life. They could not drink, for they were bitter. You know, in the context of the passage here that we're at, we see here the bitterness of disappointment. The bitterness of disappointment. I was thinking about the story in John 21 when the disciples were waiting on the Savior who had risen from the dead. And Peter, he had no patience and he said, I go fishing. And quite a number of them went with him. And it says, that night they caught nothing. My, they'd been out all night fishing. But my, when they came in the morning tide, there wasn't one fish in a net. There wasn't one fish in that fishing boat. That night they caught nothing. They toiled all night and caught nothing. And my, they must have come in greatly disappointed. You know, sometimes you
You work hard for something. You maybe study hard at school. Get your degrees. My, you maybe set your heart on a job and you apply for it. And you get an interview and my, you're put on the short list. And you have great expectations of getting this job. And then it comes to nothing. Comes to nothing. Or you've set your heart on a house and you've, my, put in a bid for it and everything's going well and the papers are going through and my, all you need is for the people to sign and then you get a phone call to say that the deal has fallen through. Or you're in a relationship and it falls through. Or you've looked forward to something happening and then you're sick or somebody else is sick and you taste the bitter waters of disappointment. Yes, the waters were bitter and they couldn't drink. And that's what life is like. Not only the bitterness of disappointment, but my, there's the bitterness of death and bereavement. Remember Lazarus and Mary and Martha? They were a close-knit family. And then Lazarus is sick and Lazarus dies. And the sisters, it says that Mary wept and Martha wept. They had lost someone that was dear to them. Now sometimes we're at the bitter waters of Marah. And remember those circumstances will come to every home. You're married to someone for 30 or 40 or 50 years. And even after all that time, then death comes. And you're tasting the bitter waters of bereavement and loss. Dear friends, there's the bitterness of disappointment and the bitterness of death, the bitterness of disease and serious illness. There's a story in Isaiah chapter 38 about a king who was King Hezekiah. And he was a good king. He was king of Judah. And it says of Hezekiah that there was none like him before him, nor none like him after him. And when Hezekiah was around 39 years of age, he got bad news. Because the prophet Isaiah came with a message from the Lord, and he said to Hezekiah, "Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." And my, what a shock it must have been. Here's this man who had everything. He's in the prime of life. And the message to him is, "Listen, Hezekiah, you've only a short time left. You're going to die." And you know, friends, there's people and they get bad news every day. News like that, every day. They sit in consultants' rooms in hospital or in their doctor's surgery and they haven't been well and they've gone through tests and the tests have revealed that they have a serious illness and life is not going to be too long for them and if they're in the prime of life, my, what a shock it must be. What a shock. The bitterness that the circumstances and experiences of life bring to us at times. Like these children of Israel, we come to the bitter waters of Marah. My, there's the bitterness of division. The bitterness of division. Division in the family. Division of friends. Paul and Barnabas, my, went out for their first missionary journey. And my, what blessing God brought to them and used them mightily. And then, my, when they were to go on the second missionary journey, the contention was so great among them because of their difference of opinion over John Mark that they both parted. The vision in the fellowship. One of the things the devil does is try to bring division into the life of every church. We read of churches in the New Testament Well, there was division. It's not a new thing, I can assure you. It goes away back to the New Testament. Corinth. My, there were cliques in the church. Philippi, there were believers who were at odds the one with the other. And you know, friends, my, there's the bitterness of defeat, the bitterness of deception, the bitterness of discouragement. My, I could go on this morning talking about the bitter experiences of life, and these are just a few of them. And the fact of the matter is this, that we're a pilgrim people. We're passing through the wilderness today, and as we go, we'll come at some time or other to the bitter waters of Marah. If you haven't come to them yet, you will. See, the barrenness of the wilderness and the bitterness of Marah. And then it says here, if we follow the chapter, it says, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. Now that's the beauty of Moses, isn't it? He saw his faith in God as he led the people through the wilderness. His faith helped him to follow the Lord when others would have went different ways. His faith helped him to turn to the Lord. My, when he came to these waters of disappointment, and his faith helped him to trust in the Lord. And it says here in verse 25, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And that's the blessing of the tree. My, the Lord showed him a tree. Remember that. The Lord showed him it. And he takes this tree and he casts it into these waters of Marah, these bitter waters of Marah. And my, the waters were made sweet because of the tree. Because of the tree. It was through the tree being thrown into the waters that the waters were made sweet. And you know, the tree speaks to me of Calvary. The tree speaks to me of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though the bitter waters were a bad experience at first, yet God used them to draw his people closer to himself. And the tree reminds me of the cross of Calvary. For this reason, friends, all we have this morning, all we are this morning, is related to all that Christ accomplished for us on the tree. My dear friends, at the cross we see the proof of God's love. The proof of God's love. You might stand at the bitter waters of Marah, whatever they may be, and I've gone over quite a number of different of life's experience this morning, but you might stand at the bitter waters of Marah, and you might wonder, where is God in all this? You might wonder, has God forgotten me? I want to tell you this, that God's love is demonstrated for you on the cross. My, God could have never loved you more when Jesus Christ died on the cross. And I want to tell you this morning, that God will never love you less, because his love never changes. And if you're down in the depths of despair for some reason this morning, remember this, that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Dear believer this morning, God loves you. God loves you. And God is with you. And God is with you to strengthen you and help you. You see, at the cross, when we come to the cross, we have redemption through the cross. We're part of the redeemed this morning.
but we're part of the redeemed because of the cross. We have forgiveness through the cross. We have peace and joy and the assurance of glory through the cross. And my, it's the eternal purpose of God that in a coming day we will be conformed to the image of His Son. And not a bit of wonder the Apostle Paul cries out, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you know, God loves us. God cares for you. And in His wisdom He's fitting you and I for glory. And when you bring the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you bring Calvary into the bitter experiences of life, He helps to make them sweet. He turns the bitterness, the bitter place became sweet. My, in disappointment, the hymn writer said, He is not a disappointment. He is everything to me. When a loved one is taken from us, my, Paul says, we sorrow not as others which have no hope. We know that that dear one has left this scene of time and gone to God's heaven to be with Him for all eternity. In the hour of illness and sickness, my, we know that God is in control, that our times are in His hands, that He is sovereign in every situation, and that God, if it so be His will, can turn the situation round. You know, Paul penned that lovely verse in Romans chapter 8, if you have your Bible there, turn over to it, Romans chapter 8, and at verse number 18. And Paul said this. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Paul says, you know, the sufferings of this present time, as we travel through the wilderness with all its ups and downs, is not worthy to be compared with the glory that we can look forward to. The glory that's to follow. My dear friends, just let's look at verse 27 as we finish here. The last verse of the chapter, it says this. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. You know, they came to a place called Elim. God didn't keep them at Marah forever. God will not keep you in the storm forever. God will not keep you in the fire forever. They came to Elim, where there was 10 wells, 12 wells of water. It was a place of refreshment. And 70 palm trees. My, they got shade from the burning sun under the palm trees. It was a place of refreshment, and it was a place of rest. And you know, friends, they were able to rest from the burden and the heat of the day. And the thing that stood out to me about this was just this, that we all come to the maras in life, the bitter experiences of life. We all get our turn. But thank God there's more Elims in life than there are Maras. There's more Elims than there are Maras. My, the hymn writer said, not now, but in the coming years. It may be in the better land. We'll read the meaning of our tears. And there's some time we'll understand. Then trust in God through all thy days. Fear not, for He doth hold thy hand.
though dark thy way, still sing and praise. Sometime, sometime, we'll understand. Dear friends, the barrenness of the wilderness, the bitterness of Marah, the blessing of the tree because of Calvary. We know that God loves us and cares for us and watches over us and will eventually bring us home to glory. And we pray that we might trust Him and know that He's working all things together for good, and that He's the Lord who cares for us as children. May you find comfort and strength from His word this morning as we travel through the wilderness. May we follow Him and follow the cloud as the children of Israel did, and eventually come to that place of refreshment and rest. May God bless His word. Amen.